Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. I like to think that the only bias I have when it comes to health and wellness and exercise and nutrition is trying to bring you the very best information without bias and looking at both sides of the issue all the time. Because in the end, I want the best information for myself. I don't want to just fulfill a bias because that's not going to help me live my best life. And it's not going to help you live your best life either. And today's show is just everything that I love about health and wellness and exercise and meaning in life. I mean, just brings it all together in a way that is so rarely done. And I'm going to talk about a specific study that just came out and also the New York Times' take on it, because I've been tough on the New York Times in past podcasts, and I believe rightfully so. But both sides, this is a phenomenal take on an incredible study that has nothing to do with weight loss or genetics or negative takes on both of those things. It has everything to do with moving and meaning and the connection, the incredible connection between those two things and self-efficacy and purpose in life and moving and feeling good about yourself and setting goals, living. You could just call this podcast living. Not many people would click on it. And even calling it the connection between moving and meaning is probably problematic. But I pulled that from the article as well because it's so perfect. Perfectly encapsulates and identifies what this is all about. And it's quote unquote deeper than 99.9% of the takes on exercise and the value and the purpose and what it does for us. But it is so spot on, in my opinion, in my experience, personal, as well as working with clients, all my research, everything I have seen and done over the past 3+ decades in this industry. This is it. This is awesome. And so I'm going to read some direct passages from the New York Times article because it's awesome. And then we're going to look at the study because it's awesome. I know I abuse that word, but I'm a positive person and I like to simplify things down. It's awesome. And what I love, as I said few minutes ago, it's not about weight loss. It's not about looking at genetics and the problems you're going to have and, you know, these specific work. No. No. Much deeper. Much more important. And I would argue, incredibly powerful at giving your workouts, your movement, the way you live your life purpose. All right? Enough. Quick break. When we come back, jumping right into it, the connection between moving and meaning and seeing the links, if any, that there are between the two. All right, we'll be right back. Quick break. All right, like I said, you know, saw the article and also saw the study. Looked at both and said, you know what? You know, this is the other side of those types of articles. You know, there's so many articles that I've said in the past, like, I'm so grateful that I don't have to, that I'm not told what to write about, not that these writers are, but that I don't have to, you know, deliver these clickbait. It's a little harsh, but true. You know, listen, I need to get listeners. as I say this, you know, discuss this more. I realized that, you know, listen, you write about what you believe in, talk about what you believe in when it comes to health and wellness, and I'm never going to bring you information, as I've said, that I don't 100% believe in, or that I'm just trying to get those views based on an iconoclastic, twisting perversion of the science. Okay, enough. This is a great, great article. And the study is, oh my gosh, everything I'm about. So I'm going to read you a couple passages just to get us into it, to illustrate what this is all about. So, New York Times article, here we go. Science already offers plenty of evidence that being active bolsters our mental as well as physical health, right? Talk about this on the podcast all the time. It is not just about physical. It is not just about weight loss. And the two are incredibly connected, as this podcast will show. Okay, back to the article. Study after study shows that men and women who exercise are less likely than the sedentary to develop depression or anxiety. Really important, people. Additional research indicates that the reverse can be true, and people who feel depressed or anxious tend not to work out. That's common sense, in my opinion. It's not talked about enough by doctors, by physicians, in many different disciplines, mental, physical. Exercise is not prescribed enough, if at all, by many for anxiety and depression. I've done those podcasts and will continue. But this is really interesting because it's that chicken and egg controversy. Are you depressed because you don't exercise, or do you not exercise because you're depressed? The article continues, but most of these studies examined connections between exercise and negative moods, anxiety, depression, right? Fewer have delved into positive emotions and their links with physical activity. And fewer still have looked at the role of a strong sense of purpose and how it might influence whether we move and the other way around. Got to bring up the blue zones again. The blue zones, the places in the world. Handful of places where people live long, incredible lives. And the connections between these places are a handful of things, including, yes, purpose. Purpose. When people retire, when people's significant other pass away, the number of people who die shortly thereafter, it's incredible. Not surprising if you're in the business of studying this, but that connection, that sense of purpose and longevity, you can't argue with it. If you look at the research, you can always argue with it, but... So we're talking about moving, not necessarily exercise, and how the sense of purpose in life influences how much we move. All right. Article continues. This omission puzzled, and I'm not going to try to pronounce. I have done this numerous times in the past with some of these incredible research fellows' names. I'm not going to shred it. I'm going to just say this omission puzzled. Postdoc research fellow with, now you got to love this, the Human Flourishing Program at Harvard University. Human Flourishing Program. Awesome. Amazing. Title for the program. And she studies well-being. And I quote her here, a sense of purpose is the feeling you get from having goals and plans that give direction and meaning to life, she says. It's about being engaged with life in productive ways. I mean, when you study drug dependency, when you study depression, when you study anxiety, all of those things, cognitive behavioral approaches, feeling good about yourself, self-efficacy is going to come up. One of my favorite topics in all of sports psychology and psychology and the connection between exercise and self-efficacy. And if you listen to past podcasts, you've heard me talk about it, and I will continue. It is so intimately connected with everything I do and talk about and preach with exercise and taking care of yourself, eating well. All right. The article continues. This definition of purpose struck her as overlapping in resonant ways with many people's motivations for exercise, she says. Active people often talk about how exercise gives structure and meaning to their lives, she says. It provides goals and achievements. Read this quote. You know what jumped out, what I thought about immediately? are all the people who freak out about people posting their workouts and talking about it on social media. You know, what's the line about CrossFit? You know, it's not CrossFit unless you talk about it. But it gives people purpose and meaning. You may not like it. I even read now where they're saying people who post exercise are, it's microaggressions to people who don't. I disagree. Topic for another day. But let me read it again. Active people often talk about how exercise gives structure and meaning to their lives. It provides goals and achievements. And what I'm going to finish up by saying is I combine many different things and have done so in how I've lived my life, exercise and purpose and goals. You're going to start to see how related, connected, all of this stuff is. And this is what makes it fun and not tedious and not deprivation. All right. Final quote, little passage from here. She says, in that case, she thought physical activity plausibly could contribute to a sense of purpose. And likewise, a sense of purpose might influence how likely we are to exercise. No talk about genetics. No talk about weight loss. No talk about obesity. We're talking purpose and movement. Purpose and movement. Final line, and this is awesome, but there was scant evidence to support those ideas. No one, there's so little research into what this study is looking at. And I'm going to get to the specifics in a second. That's sad. What do we research? And the articles I have had issues with, too much exercise, you know, giving people reasons to not exercise. You can't do it. Non-responders to exercise, which, going to repeat myself, makes zero scientific sense that the body doesn't adapt to a stressor put upon it, that people who, you know, raise their heart rate, lift heavy things, see no results. That's insanity. Makes no sense. Are there different results? Of course. Are there different results from different programs and, you know, study design? Of course. But there's scant evidence. People aren't looking at this stuff. The connection between purpose and exercise. Well, no, you can't sell that drug. You can't sell that program. It's not where the money's going to go. The title of this show is not as clickbaity as the articles that I had the issues with, and it doesn't pervert the science in a way that what? Tells you you can't do it. Gives you an excuse. But what it does do, and what my show's all about, and my life's work, is it gives you hope, and it gives you control. And that awesome question is that chicken and egg controversy, which leads to what? But it doesn't really matter, does it, in the end? But I get ahead of myself. All right? So, this study and this researcher, whom I now have to get on this show, set out to find links, if any, between moving and meaning. That's where I pulled the title of the show from. Study is looking at the connection between moving and how great is that? I'm sorry. I love what I do, and I love when it's a deep intellectual look at us living our best lives. All right. Study, April 2021. The title is The Bidirectional Relationship Between Sense of Purpose in Life and Physical Activity, a Longitudinal Study. I'm going to read the abstract for you. People with a greater sense of purpose in life may be more likely to engage in physical activity. At the same time, physical activity can contribute to a sense of purpose in life. The present research tests these hypotheses using a cross-legged panel model in a nationally representative longitudinal panel of American adults. I'll get to the specifics in a second. An increase in sense of purpose in life was associated with higher physical activity 4 years later, above and beyond past activity levels. Physical activity was positively associated with future levels of sense of purpose in life, controlling for prior levels of purpose in life. Results held in a second national panel from the U.S. with a 9-year follow-up Boom, I'll give you those statistics specifically in a second. The findings demonstrate a bidirectional relationship between sense of purpose in life and physical activity in large samples of middle age and older adults tracked over time. This is connected to what I talk about with, it does not matter what your reason for starting to exercise is, right? So in other words, look better, feel better, live longer. If you do it for vanity reasons, look better, you can feel better and live longer. And pick, you know, any of those three reasons to start, you get the other two. Now, final sentence in this abstract, the findings demonstrate a bidirectional relationship between a sense of purpose in life and physical activity. So we're not sure if starting to exercise gives you purpose or having purpose leads you to exercise. And that's a good thing. They're connected. One leads to the other. If you have purpose, you're going to move more. If you move more, you're going to find purpose, potentially. We're not sure. All right, let me give you just the specifics about the study itself. They looked at the Health and Retirement Study, which gathers longitudinal data about the lives, attitudes, and activities of thousands of American adults, 50 and older. All right, and they looked at over 14,000 participants, the records. And they also looked at comparable data from over 4,000 men and women enrolled in a different study. So they're looking at two different studies. And they're asking them questions about their physical activities and sense of purpose. That's a problem, right? Questionnaire, we'll talk about that. And it asked them, questionnaire, about their physical health, background, daily activities, and mental health. And then they asked them about certain statements, right? Do you agree with statements like, I have a sense of direction and purpose in life? Or a sentence like, and I'm pulling from the article now, my daily activities often seem trivial and unimportant. Okay, and then the researchers did what? They checked back in with them after years have passed to see how they felt then. What did they find? People who started off with active lives generally showed an increasing sense of purpose over the years. And those whose purpose was sturdier, as they call it, in the beginning, were the most physically active years later. Okay? Yes, the study was based on subjective questions, estimates, asking them about their, exercise, which I've said, when you ask people about how much they exercise or what they eat, unreliable, but we have to use this data, but we're going to look at it, take that with a grain of salt. So it can be unreliable, right? And they're associational findings. Meaning they show those links between purpose at one point in your life being active later or vice versa. So it doesn't prove causality, but so many of the studies we look at don't. So we're gonna say that. I get it. I still go back to a term that just drove one of my, when I first came out with the podcast, was using terms like Occam's razor and drove one listener nuts. I'm going to use it again because it's valid and valuable. Makes sense, right? Common sense. I know that when I'm not feeling good about myself, I move less. And I know when I'm feeling good about myself, I move more. And I know that when I'm not feeling good about myself, I need to get out the door. I need to get my hit of exercise. I need to get the serotonin and those feel-good hormones, people. This is what this is all about. Not talking about weight loss, not talking about obesity. Those things are important. We need to be our healthiest weight, but we don't start there. That's why this study and this article is so perfect for the show. And I just love everything it's about. Finding purpose will get you moving more. That purpose is not to see the scale go down 30 pounds in a month. That purpose is not depriving yourself of entire food groups for a short amount of time. Purpose is not doing exercise you don't enjoy. It's great news. Okay, so even though these are associations, the researcher believes they are sturdy and rational, as it says. And I quote, people often report more self-efficacy, there we go, after they take up exercise, which might prompt them to feel capable of setting new goals and developing a new or augmented purpose in life. That line gave me goosebumps when I read it. That's how much I love my job. That's how into this I am. And I'm going to take one more break because I want to let this sit. I'm going to read it to you one more time. We're going to break, come back. We're going to talk all about putting it all together and how you can take this incredible study and this incredible researcher's take on it to help you live your best life and not deprive yourself and not struggle and not be depressed and not have your hope taken away from you. All right, let me read the quote. People often report more self-efficacy after they take up exercise, which might prompt them to feel capable of setting new goals and developing a new or augmented purpose in life. Quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. It is rare that I read a quote that, again, gives me goosebumps right away and encapsulates everything I believe, everything I have experienced in my work, in my experiences with myself and clients. Self-efficacy is situational confidence. When you embark upon a fad diet or a flawed program that is too hard exercise-wise, or you get injured because of that flawed program, that diminishes your self-efficacy. You don't think you can do it. And you were successful. You did the diet. You did everything it told you to do. But it was deprivation. And it stripped your body of muscle, and you lowered your metabolism, and you rebounded. That is why I have such a problem with these programs and people, because they are slowly, and not always slowly, but they are chipping away, diminishing your self-efficacy, your confidence that you have control, that you can make incredible change in your life. And that just doesn't affect, as this quote says, and the study shows, potentially, it's not just about exercise. When you embark upon a diet, or a dozen, as many people or more over the years, and have that rebound and, you know, same outcome each time, you just don't believe that you can't lose weight. It has negative associations with all aspects of your life, and vice versa, people. When you have success in fitness, doing races, swimming, you know, taking upon challenges and being successful, those exercise success leads to all aspects of life. Family, friends, finance, happiness, augmented purpose in life, setting new goals. So in other words, you start an exercise program, a balanced, intelligent, based in science program and or eating plan, and you are successful. You do other things in life and take on new challenges because you believe you can. And the final quote from her saved it. It's a great researcher. And from the other side, she says, when you have goals and a sense of purpose, you probably want to be healthy and live long enough to fulfill them. Say it one final time. No talk of weight loss. No talk of starvation diets. We're talking about setting goals. We're talking about the incredible connection between movement and purpose, psychological and physiological connections. Feeling good about yourself. You know, I do my movement, exercise, whatever you want to call it, workouts, first and foremost now because it feels good. And let me bring this all together. Setting goals. Why not combine the two? So for years, when people would say, well, Tom, your goal was to qualify for the Hawaii Ironman, and I came up short again and again and again, but chipped away at it, finally achieved it, but traveled the world to do it. So in other words, I was setting goals and having purpose. I saw the world and continued to see the world. I combined my fitness, exercise, and purpose. I combined it all. My work, which is why I say I have the greatest job in the world. But this is what the person who isn't working in my field, but later in life, as the study was looking at, you know, people 50 and older, purpose. You say, you know what? I've never seen, you know, pick an area of the world, and maybe I'm going to do a bike ride there. Maybe I'm going to climb a small mountain. Maybe I'm going to hike. Maybe just combining travel and movement. And the movement, maybe just getting there and just walking around and exploring. Travel, purpose, goals, connected. When we don't have goals, we're anxious and we're depressed. When we don't move, we're anxious and depressed. That is the slippery slope. That is the systems theory that is not talked about or understood by most. It is a ridiculous snowball effect. You get heavier, you don't feel good about yourself, you try a diet, it works for a short amount of time, your self-efficacy is eroded, you feel worse about yourself, you move less, you gain more weight. It's horrible. And then you're told by people that you can't change, that it's your genetics. That's horrible. And so there you go. Self-efficacy, purpose in life. Find things you enjoy. Set goals for yourself. Doesn't have to be fitness related. But if you can make it that, awesome. Any kind of movement, travel. We need purpose in life. And again, I stress, I think I've, you know, definitely upped the sales of the Blue Zones. I see that people who, you know, you can look on Amazon who purchased my micro workout plan also bought the Blue Zones, because that's real life studies. That's real life. Hey, if you want to achieve something in life, study people who have done it. And when there's connections to numerous people who have done something in different places of the world, meaning living the longest, best lives possible, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to take that to heart. I'm going to do all of those things. Purpose in life, social connections, movement, Mediterranean style diet, all in that Blue Zones book. All right. But there you go. Awesome job, New York Times, because it didn't take hope away. It didn't twist research into a way that told people they couldn't do something. And it took the focus, it takes the focus off of the weight loss and the deprivation. And it's just about life and living. The bidirectional relationship between sense of purpose in life and physical activity. I read that title. I said, this is a show. This is a show. Perfect study? Absolutely not. Common sense? Yeah. The more you move, the better you're going to feel about yourself. The less you move, the opposite is true. And it does not matter what direction it goes in. As I said, we're done. That's all I have to say. Bring this all together. When you move more, you probably have greater sense of purpose in life. When you have greater sense of purpose in life, you're going to move more. That's important. All right. It's nice to read articles like this. We need much more of this, and we need much more research. That line, but there was scant evidence to support these ideas about the positive association between exercise and purpose. We need much more research like this. And I'm going to bring you much more of this stuff, because this is what matters. This is what works. So for those of you who are depressed, as many people are, especially now, all that's going on, you got to find that thing or those things that make you happy and they get you up and get you moving and get you connected to people. Listen, I know my weaknesses. I don't get enough sleep. I don't have enough connections to people. I have a small group, but I'm tough. I don't surround myself with negative people. And at 52, I have less patience and time to deal with that. But we need connections. We need purpose. We need to move. There you go. All right. If you want to, look at this. I love this. 30, right around 30 for the show, and plus or minus with, yeah, that's the way it should be. We'll go longer sometimes. We'll go shorter. It depends. Thank you so much. Comment, rate the show. Please, please, please subscribe. I have the greatest audience. You guys are the best, and I love hearing from you. Tom H. Fit is Instagram and Twitter. You can reach out that way. You can go to fitnessdisrupted.com, reach out there. I have a brand new virtual gym that I am slowly adding content to. All my content from decades in the industry, and people are joining up, and I love it. It's the gym I want you to come to every day. There's going to be videos and training plans and forums and things like that, so you can live your best life. That is TomHollandFitness.com. And finally, my most recent book is The Micro Workout Plan. And this is all about helping you live your best life. As I started the show by saying, that's my only bias. My only bias is finding you the best information, weeding through it, and taking the most objective, intelligent look at it. Because I want to live my best life too, people. And if I have bias, as so many do, that's a problem, human nature. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. I want to live to be 125. All right. Thank you for listening. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.